Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atira. And I'm excited today because I am in Cottage Grove, close to Mary Ellen. For those of you who know Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, she does my bookings and she handles my website. So today I'm going to be sharing the airwaves with her. She is an absolutely famous author. She has a column. She has her new column, Tips and Tales, in the local paper. And she's becoming quite the photographic journalist as well. Welcome to the airwaves, Mary Ellen.
Hi, Tira. Thanks for having me.
Well, we want to talk today. We just went to the most marvelous workshop with John Holland, a Hay House medium. And it was really amazing. In fact, when it was over, I wanted two more hours. And so we wanted to talk about some of the experiences that we experienced there because it was really phenomenal. And share with you and also take your calls and questions about mediumship, because we've been covering over the last few shows some of the things about mediumship and learning this and understanding how to develop your own mediumship. And we're hoping today to answer some of those questions. I think everybody has questions about it. They, is this me or is this spirit? All those kinds of things. This is my mind chatter. You know, how do I get symbols? How do I get signs? How do I get messages? Or even how do I even pick a medium? So one of the things I think is important that we really noticed at this workshop, and because I'm in the biz, is that there's a different, infinite variety of mediums and clairvoyants and psychics. And discerning and understanding the level of that and how you pick the one that's right for you is very, very important. Don't you agree, Mary Ellen?
Well, that's the truth, because what I noticed was from seeing John Holland years ago, who's one of our favorite mediums, from then until last weekend, his accuracy level had just escalated. And the only thing he'd been doing different, and a lot of people haven't, is that he's been practicing, he's been open, he's been alert. And, you know, when you're in a room of, 500 to 3,000 people, all the energy's up and they know they can come through. But what was amazing this time was, I remember you had said, the lady next to you, and I've seen you do this too, when the spirits on the other side are speaking to the medium on stage, you're nodding your head, and you're hearing the same thing and whispering in our ears what they say before the medium on stage says it. So that is confirmation that it's actually being said. It's not somebody up there with their imagination going forth. So at one point, he said, you know, I'm over in this section of the audience, and two people raised their hands. And you said, no, it's over there. And I'm running the mic throughout the audience, throughout all these people. And I'm thinking, how do you know it's over there? Because he's pointing a little further south, you know. And you said, I can see the man standing there. What was he pointing to, the lady, trying to get your attention?
No, he actually just had his arms around her. So I knew that, obviously, that was the one connected. And he became more highlighted. It's like somebody runs those little yellow markers over the person. So that's how I know, for me, I don't know if it's the same for John, but that's how I knew that was the one he was really, really picking up.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one that it was. That was startling. The other thing I've noticed, too, is as you are known as a psychic, but I see your mediumship developing over the years. It started with, like, little whispering voices with you. Remember that time we were out to lunch and we're going to the Marianne Williamson event? That was so funny. And you were rummaging around in your purse for something and you said, what? And I looked at you and said, I didn't say anything. And then about a minute later, you're still rummaging around your purse. And you said, what did you say? I said, I didn't say anything. And I'm starting to think, it's starting to happen to you. And then you said, would you speak up? I can't hear you with food in your mouth. And I said, Atira, look, there's no food on the table. I said, it's not me you're hearing. And you're like, oh. Story. And then you mentioned it was a little tiny whisper from a lady. But what was interesting is being with you is an experience because you teach the whole time. You asked the lady to speak up louder and clearer so that you could hear her. And then the only problem after that was she wanted you to speak to her daughter in an event with 3,000 people. And we're thinking, 1,300 people. And we're thinking, how on earth are we ever going to find anybody there? And as it turned out, the lady came in and sat right next to me. And that's how spirit works, totally divinely guided.
Well, I think it's important to tell our listeners, too, it is as simple sometimes as saying, speak up. People get the illusion that spirits are in control, and they are often driving the ship. But, you know, we really have the capability to ask. Ask, you know, who it is. Ask details. And that's one thing I really loved about John Holland this week is that he was really down to earth. There was nothing airy-fairy, you know, oh, my goodness, mystical. He made it real. He made it absolutely like, okay, these are here, you know, do it by the numbers. Here we go. And I loved it when he said, I'm talking to them, I'm talking to you, and I'm talking to myself in my head. So it's true. When I'm doing this work, there's three or more conversations going on.
It's like brain gymnastics.
And, yeah, and so you can understand why it's a little confusing, because often they will go into your subconscious to use symbols and keys and things to get you to get, like, a word. Like the particular lady you were talking about, he heard Bam Bam, and the actual nickname was Boom Boom.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes in our mind or in getting it out from the ethers, we don't get it exactly accurate. We have to kind of keep working. Do you understand this?
Well, then he
this?
Taught how. He saw the letters BM, BMs, and he's trying to go, bam, you know.
You go through your Rolodex, your cosmic
right.
Rolodex in your brain. Is it this, is this, is this?
That's what's fascinating about seeing him teach. You know, I've seen other mediums, and they just do their thing, and they get off stage. But John is so passionate about teaching, and his humor just keeps, you know, if you're depressed and you want to see something metaphysical, find it where John Holland is and fly there and see him. People came from all over in that audience. But, oh, gosh, now I've lost my train of thought.
Well, it's important to pay attention. I really, what I love about John is he talks about, how can I make this connect for you? I want you to be able to do what I do, even if it's not the level I do it. And I mean, he feels the same way I do about teaching. And not everybody's going to get it with all the senses and the whistles and bells like we have going on sometimes. And honest to God, sometimes it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I've got hearing and the smelling and the seeing, and I'm on sensory overload. You know, I say, could you pick one avenue, Spirit? Could you just spell it out or give me the black and white movie? So sometimes I think having all that going on, A, is overwhelming, and B, you can get on sensory overload. So what he was teaching is you may feel it. You may
mm-hmm.
hear the song on the radio, you know, three or four times that's related to your loved one. You may hear the name or the voice called. You may have the sense of a presence sitting on your bed. All of those are symbols and signs and fear, you know, telephone ringing, electrical equipment not working. In fact, Cottage Grove just lost a very beloved firefighter, and they wanted to go back and have his last call, which is that, you know, emergency calls that come into the station that they handle. And when they went to check the electronics on that, it was gone.
It was gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's how Spirit lets you know, like, hey, I'm having the last laugh on you.
The last word, yeah.
Yeah. It's my world up here sometimes. And they do that. They do things like that. You know, it's important to really trust what you're getting, or you know, ask. I think that's the biggest thing people forget to do. They want to hear from their loved ones. They're in mourning and grief, which lowers your energy. And so even when Spirit finally works so hard to get through, what do?
Oh,
that's
you discount it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you go. Your mind goes, oh yeah, right. That, you know, that's me. That's, you know, I'm discounting it.
But well, it starts with pennies and it starts with feathers. I remember the morning we left to see John Holland. We walked out of your house, and in all the times you've had that little pond by your back door, I've never once seen a feather floating, and it was a long feather. It was early in the morning.
And yeah, floating right on top. Yeah, it was amazing.
Right.
So another way that people get messages is also through 111, so, or 444s and numbers. So.
And we saw those days before the event, too. I was flipping through John Holland's book, 101 Ways to Start Your Intuition.
Yes.
And he says just a sec, I have a little note in it. Oh, darn, it's disappeared. Something about numbers. Being indications, all numbers have their own frequency and speak to us in their own language. And it's so true for those that are seeing number sequences. And just because you might not be seeing the 1111, maybe you're seeing you know, 411 or 1234, but it keeps recurring in your life and haunting you, so you know something's up. And that's how the other side can speak to you telepathically. But here's two emails that I recently received. And one says, at noon, my phone rang, and I couldn't get it before it went to voicemail. And it read 7777777. She'd never seen anything like that before. So she called her voicemail back, and there was a quick sound, but nothing else. Then her husband, who was in the house, he got the same phone call on the house phone, picked it up, and no one was there. And it was the same, seven straight across. It rang again, and the same thing happened. Both of us thought it had to be angels trying to get our attention. We had been in Arizona for 9 days and were getting ready to leave and come back home hours later. And they thought, well, what is the significance of the sevens? They were both discussing it, and they knew it wasn't a prank. But when they got home, her husband felt strongly that they needed to leave for home earlier than normal, so they did. When they arrived there, the swimming pool water was so low it was making a loud noise. So they arrived home in time to turn it off and save the pump. And then she adds, we see multiples of ones, twos, and threes. When we bought our motorhome last year, the stock number was 11184. She says, all of our vehicle license plates have multiple eights and six in them, and I truly believe we're surrounded by angels all the time. And that's from Terry. And just before the radio show, this one arrived from Janet. She says, Mary Ellen, I needed to look up the patterns of recurring ones, and I saw your website, and it helped me. I belong to a local volunteer rescue squad, and we had a possible flood coming, so we had to hand out flyers. The residents were living to the residents in the low-lying areas. When we got back to our building, I was filling out the call sheet and entered the mileage on the ambulance. It read 11,111 miles. I thought it was amazing and called a few members over to look, and they thought it was strange, too. The next day, my husband and I went to the grocery store, and a receipt came to $11.11. My husband didn't think much about it. Then I told him about the mileage. The night when we were going to bed, I looked at the clock, and it read 1:11 a.m. I told him to look at it, and he said, so what? And I reminded him of the mileage and the receipt, and he answered, oh, wow. I went to your website, printed out the material to read, and found it interesting. My daughter came home that night and said she thought it was strange, and I said, why? She told me she just started a college class, and the room number was 111. She had to pick a car up from the mechanic, and the receipt was $111. None of these numbers were planned. I told my husband, someone is trying to tell us something. I'm in the middle of trying to find a new job since I was laid off. I told him probably on the 11th something good will happen. Stay tuned. Janet.
That's awesome, and it's true. Things will repeat in our lives. It's you know, there is one thing about this. Everything is constant change, and, you know, the laws of spirituality is that like attracts like. And so I really believe, you know, that angels, guides, and masters are always trying to get our attention because, you know what, we're slow learners. You know, when you're down here on doing Earth, you know, we get so caught up in all those woulda, shoulda, coulda. So.
But here, people will have an amazing dream about a loved one that's passed. In the dream, they come from the light. They say beautiful words and messages that only they can understand. They give them hope. They give them peace. And in the morning, they wake up. They write me immediately, and they say, what do you think that meant? Like, you get a gift from God, and you can't even accept that. So without question. So it's the subtle things we need to pay attention in our life, because in John Holland's book, Psychic Navigator, he teaches you to pay attention, and the more you do, the stronger they become.
Well, the other thing I loved about John Holland's book, he has another one called Born Knowing, is that he talks about making it a game, like playing a game, and Dom, you know, used to play games with me, too, like what color is that person, but John talks about, you know, playing the game of thinking about when the phone rings, who it is on the other end before you answer it.
Right, and how many emails do you have in the morning?
How many emails you have in the
mm-hmm.
morning. Or if you're going to a building, which elevator door is going to open. You know, it sounds like a game, but the truth is it's practice.
You know, a lot of kids play games like that, and I don't think they're even realizing they're starting to develop their intuition.
Well, even when we're a little kid and they're playing red light, green light, those kinds
yeah.
of things, or guessing colors, or guessing numbers, you know, what number am I thinking of? Those kinds of things. I think those are all wonderful development opportunities. I want to make sure we give our number for call-ins tonight. The call in in the U.S. is 877-876-5227, and in Canada, it is 888-810-8322. So if you have questions about mediumship, we want to hear them, or questions about numbers, we're certainly opening our airwave lines so that we can get your input today.
Those are free lines, too, by the way.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to talk, too, a little bit about hearing voices, because actually we all hear voices. We all hear spirit subtle information. The only problem is sometimes we don't know how to discern it or assimilate it, like you were talking when we were in the restaurant that time. Sometimes everybody thinks it's someone going, "Atira, I want to talk to Carol." You know, it's not like that. It's usually very subtle. It'll be someone calling somebody's name, or it might even sound like, "Whoosh."
Well, that's what I heard the other night after the class. I went, "Oh my gosh!" Because when you're in that energy, it starts manifesting. And you were, we were sitting on the couch in the living room, and I heard kind of noise like that. And I said, "What did you say?" He was like, "I didn't say anything." I went, "Oh my God, it's starting to happen." But then when we went to bed, you're in one room, I'm in another room, and you know how your brain starts to play music and or a song over and over and over. Well, my brain started to sing or pick up "Amazing Grace." It was singing it. And about the third time through, I thought, "Wait a minute, why is it doing that?" And then from the other room, I heard you kind of make three little noises, and I thought, "I wonder if you were saying something or talking in your sleep." And so I called out and I said, "Well, Atira, what are you doing, or what are you saying?" And what did you say?
I was singing "Amazing Grace."
Yeah, in the other room,
softly to my cat.
And so I guess that's the message: is "Amazing Grace." Period.
Well, the other interesting thing is, you know, when you see John Edwards on TV, often he'll be like trying to read somebody in an office audience and wind up reading the cameraman. And John was very generous to call me up on stage and ask me to do a reading for someone in the audience. And he's very generous about sharing his stage with other clairvoyants and mediums. He was very, very generous anyway.
It shows other techniques, too. It's another way that he can teach.
And it was really, really great because I had done the reading and he was adding some things. And all of a sudden he says, "Who's George?" And he looked at the lady and everything. And I said, "I think you're with me." And he said, "Oh, Atira, have you lost your brother?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Oh, my gosh, darling, you've lost your mom and dad, too." And it was a treat for me because, you know, the truth is we often get other people if we don't get ourselves.
That's true.
So he gave me a great gift, and I appreciate it.
And he gave it the order that the people passed, too, which was amazing. Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the airwaves.
Well, thank you.
May I have your name and where you're calling from?
I'm Jeannie Lee. I'm calling from Enid, Oklahoma.
Welcome to the airwaves. You got a question?
Yes, I do. I'm an artist, and I do soul portraits, and I do see colors from people. Most recently, I would say the last month, I have been seeing numbers floating in people's auras. And I'm puzzled to some degree about the numbers. It's something kind of like I'm just trying to figure out what that, you know, what that would mean. And so I thought, well, darn, I'll just try and give you a call. Did
well,
I
what I think
articulate
it means
that good
actually
enough?
Is there's been a shift in the grids and about the energy grids, just like the ley lines in the land.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, in the etheric, we have energy grids outside the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a shift in that, and I think that's why the numbers are showing up. I think they've always been there. We just haven't seen them. So it's like you're seeing clearly, you're seeing in a different realm. And I would read everything I could about numerology, but I'd also read Doreen Virtue, who happens to have a book on numbers.
Okay.
Certainly visit our website, which is www.angelscribe.com. But
okay.
You have to also just take a moment. You're already seeing spirits. Ask how those numbers relate to people. Because what I find out is that the number will be significant for certain things. Like some numbers mean move. Some mm-hmm. numbers mean health issues. So you can start looking at what that pertains to your work, because I think it's different for everybody. I don't think, quote unquote, there's just this miracle standard out there.
Right.
I think you will learn in your own mediumship, because you're obviously a medium doing
uh-huh.
soul portraits. And I'd ask whether it pertains to the person you're doing or the guides they're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the numbers develop. Mary Ellen's number is 11, Mary Ellen?
Mm-hmm.
She sees that a lot. Mine is 444 and 333. Ah. So everybody, I think, has numbers that are significantly playing out through their lives. Does that help?
That does help. It the people, because they're literally like moving around in their energy field.
Right, absolutely. That.
And it's like I'm thinking, I know it means something, and I'm supposed to do something with it. But and I have you know, looked into thought, well, what is my interpretation of that number?
Mm-hmm.
And I probably do need to read a little bit more about it. But the
or simply ask spirit. Spirit will sometimes tell you how to interpret it.
Right.
Or sometimes I think it's as simple as telling the client, I see these numbers in your energy field, in your auric field, around your guides
mm-hmm.
or your loved ones. You may need to find out how is that significant. And I did that the other day because I had like two numbers around this person, and I
mm-hmm.
they aren't repeating numbers that I would normally see. One was a 5 and the other was an 11. So I said, is it a birth date? Is it anniversary?
Mm-hmm.
None of those played out. Well, it turned out later it was significant. She was talking to her aunt. It was significant to her mother. So I would give them the information. Sometimes it's not our job to interpret everything.
Okay.
We want to, but
well,
but
yes and no.
It's somebody else's job.
Well, it's kind of like I'm curious about it, but I want to be respectful on how I talk about it with them. But
since it's just developed in your work, I would start taking in journaling, because maybe they're going to teach you a new vocabulary to your work.
Right.
And I think that's the best way. You know, none of this, unfortunately, there's no manual and exact science to this. It's so individualized, which is wonderful, that all you can do is look at numerology as a guideline, the Kabbalah as a guideline, and because spirit will develop whatever part of this gift individually for the individual. Because we all have our own cosmic Rolodex.
Right.
Because of how we grew up. You know,
exactly.
What religion you grew up with, what family values did you grow up with, all those things develop how we develop. So how did you develop doing portraits?
Well, I did portraits, humans and animals,
mm-hmm.
And I started making money when I was in high school. So later I looked at them and I could tell where their vital organs were, healthy or not, and I've been doing soul portraits as far as colors, explaining colors, and now numbers are appearing and they're moving around. I'm thinking, okay. So when I heard you talk about numbers, I thought, well, that's pretty good. I'll be able to actually ask someone and get their input. So I do soul portraits. I'm actually just an artist that does pastels. I've been in art shows and blah, 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 but...
So you came in with it, kind of, because you've been doing it since.
Right. My love of just observing and watching people, it was easy to sketch them, and
awesome.
Then it just evolved into that where...
Well, just as the colors evolved for you... So
colors did evolve, in the sense that I had to find out what... blue meant to me. I had to
right.
find out what green meant to me. And probably with the numbers, I'll have to find out what they mean to me and then try to be as respectful.
And I really want to tell you what we're talking about here with you applies to everybody because I really believe you can go and study chakras and the aura, but everybody's green will be different. You know
exactly.
what I mean? Everybody's blue for their throat chakra will be different. So, you
exactly.
know, it might be they might show you a cobalt blue, but your blue for that chakra might be powder blue. So it is a personalized thing. So I hope I helped.
You did because you you basically told me what my intuition was telling me. So to me, that's very valuable.
Great. Thank you so much for calling in.
And thank you for being here and having a voice for a lot of us.
Thank you so much. I enjoy this so much. I want to teach, and all my callers really help us teach. So thank you so much for calling in. Have a great evening.
Well, and just thank you for being here, and I wish you well. And thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, Chira, that was very good advice. If you think of a lot of children with psychic gifts, they come in and they see pink around people and black around people, and they just kind of have to sit there and watch and see, does black mean they're sick? Does it mean that they're in a transition? Does the pink mean they're happy? Does it mean they're sad? And then they start putting it together like a little puzzle.
Well, and I truly believe that we all are, we're collective, but we all are individuals, and so our norm will be different. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Name and where are you calling from?
This is Pat. This is Pat from Chehalis.
Hello.
And I can just barely hear you. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay.
Is that better? I hope that's better.
Here, you can turn up the volume on the phone.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, Pat, she's got a little turny knob on the volume she can turn up, make it so you can hear her better.
There you go. That'll work.
Did you have a question?
Basically, I don't know whether I necessarily had a question as much as I wanted to share something. And there's questions in it, too, as far as that's concerned. I will say that I adore your show, and I love the way that you talk with people. And you are so kind when you explain things. You don't make people feel like they're dummies because they've asked questions.
Oh, no. You have to all start somewhere.
Right. Anyway, I believe that Spirit has been working with me for years, and I think I'm really kind of slow on the uptake is what I think my main problem is. I'll share something with you that I've already shared with Mary Ellen before. Last Tuesday, I came home and I was extremely, extremely tired. Things have been kind of busy and rough around here lately. And I was walking down the hallway and my mind was concentrating on, I'm going to go lay down for a few minutes. And behind me, I heard a soft, gentle, loving voice say, as clear as could be, God bless you. And I turned around and I looked to see if someone had come in the house that I didn't know was with me. Well, the only one that was with me was one of my little Pomeranians. And so then I turned around and I looked at the TV to see if somebody said something on the TV. Well, it was on continual music. So that wasn't where it came from. So, you know, it's like you said, so often we think, well, that just came from my mind. Well, I knew it didn't. Because I knew where my mind was located. It was looking forward to going in there and laying down.
Well, they get their Rolodex in. Who would have said it, or who would have sent the message, or who was it connected to?
Mm-hmm.
I also think that's a perfect example of a form of meditation. You know, your mind was, I'm tired, it's been a long day.
Right.
I'm headed for my nap here, the bed looks good. My mind is defocused on all the other stuff. Great opportunity for Spirit to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And angels love that, and I'm sure that was a lovely message from a
Well, it was, and it I couldn't help but smile. And when I told my husband, he said, did you say thank you? And I looked at him, and I said, oh, dear, I was so rummy, I don't think I even thought to say thank you.
They do love to hear thank you. They do love to be acknowledged and told that, you know, that you got the message, even if you're confused about it.
Right.
But, you know, it's true, Pat, that sometimes we want it. We want to hear it, but then when we hear it, you know, our little mind runs and everything. But what a great way to go to a nap.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing.
So I don't think that I really had a question in there, but, you know, there have been different times throughout my life through dreams, telephone calls where there wasn't anybody there, but there was static and I could smell my father's aftershave, and it was a year to the day that he'd passed away. You know, I know these things aren't my imagination. I'm not that creative. And,
you know, sometimes that's the truth. I'm going, things that happen to me, I'm going, like, I'm not that good, guys. I'm really not that good. I could never come up with some of the things that happen.
So could you mention?
Well, let me get off here and tell you that I love you both, and take care, and I will chat with you again.
Thanks, Pat.
We love you. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate
bye-bye.
It so bye-bye.
Akira, can you imagine Spirit on the other side trying to tap dance, thinking, now how can I get through? Do I use feathers for this person, pennies for this person? Do I use soft whispers? Do I use dreams for this person? You're kind of like a mother with a new baby trying to figure out the best way to get through to
it. I actually liken it to this. Have you ever put a 3,000-piece jigsaw puzzle together?
Yeah, all the same color?
Yeah. You're trying to get the border, and you can't figure it out because all the pieces look so much alike, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's very confusing. And until you put it all together, you don't have all the answers. Hello, welcome to the airwaves.
Hi, Tara. This is Steve Cota.
Hey, Steve. Welcome to the airwaves.
Hi. I had a question for you. Last Friday at a John Holland seminar, when he started, he at one point he said that he was going to...
Steve, I'm going to ask you to speak just up a little, please.
Okay. At one point, he said that he was going to expand his aura, and then he started doing his readings. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how you expand the aura and what that does.
I'd love to. On a good day, most of the time, I would say the average person's aura is maybe 4 to 6 inches from their body. Unless you're practicing something like meditation or perhaps yoga or certain exercises or are very conscious of your aura, it tends to be fairly close to your body. When you start doing spiritual work, you start learning how to expand it, and some of the ways you can expand it is by simple breathing, being conscious, first of all, of your body, and taking deep breaths, and actually seeing it expand. And what happens when it expands is like turning up the dial on a receiver on a radio tower. It expands, or having a better connection with your dish, if you have dish TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a clearer signal, or being in the range of a cell tower when you're trying to, you know, you want all the bars up. I liken it to that. If you don't want good reception, you pull your aura in, and it's like on the cell phone. It gets more staticky, and you're not going to pick up everything. But the more you expand your aura, the better reception comes into your energy centers, and in particularly your crown chakra. It's like that's the receiving tower that you're really getting your reception at. And everything is energy. Everything is electromagnetic energy, not my law, cosmic law, scientific law. And
yeah.
If you've ever seen the symbol of the atom, you know, with the little core and the little things dancing around it.
Sure.
That really is what I actually sense and feel in my crown chakra when I'm expanded doing the work. It's like there's that little kind of energy feeling like that. And that's the only thing I could liken to.
Well, you know, the other thing is, Tara, when you went on stage with John and you came back and sat back in the audience, mention what you said when you went into his aura field, because it was so different than what you'd normally experience.
I don't remember what I said. I was so nervous on stage, I have to tell you. I'll be honest with my audience. I was so nervous.
She was cute, folks. She was up there. You could see a little knee jiggling like a little kid that was nervous, but she did such a good job. You said it was like going when you walked into his energy. You could literally feel it because it had expanded so far. So somebody who's as sensitive as you could notice that when you got close.
Well, I wouldn't think even it was me sensitive to me. I think everybody that got on stage with him felt it. And I liken it to if you've ever seen Starship Enterprise. What's that show? Yeah. And the ship goes to hyperspeed. That's what it's like. It actually feels like that. You're kind of like into that energy.
Yeah,
and
I recall
actually,
when I shook his hand that, and I was getting close to John, that my heart chakra started to open.
Yeah, it
a
expands.
Lot.
And I would say most mediums that I've seen, they use their heart chakra because to do mediumship work because they're connecting to people's emotional fields. And anyone that's lost anybody, you know how you feel like your heart's been ripped out or squeezed. You go into that heart-centered love energy, and love energy helps expand your aura. So if you're practicing and you want to expand your aura and you can't really figure it out, all you have to do is pretend your heart's expanding. And
yeah.
When you start doing that, using that as an image, you'll start getting the hang of it. And the other part of that is, too, you don't want to walk around that expanded all the time.
Yes, he had fever.
Because then you get such mind chatter. It's like standing in Schick Stadium and everybody's going.
Yeah. Well, I
want to bring up, you know.
At one point, I'm pretty sensitive in large crowds, and it's actually very difficult. And like a few weeks ago, I went to a healthcare convention, and I didn't want to be uncomfortable, and so I kind of expanded my aura, not really knowing it, and tried to embrace and love, and you know, do all that and be present, and just felt so much better, and it really helped me get through it. And maybe that was because there were like-minded people that it was easier to accept that other energy around me.
I think it's true. I think that if you're in a place, A, that's like-minded, and B, that you feel comfortable, the less comfortable you are, the more you suck in your aura, the more you kind of, you know, put your defenses up, even instinctively with a fright or flight, you do that. I also encourage anyone to use, like, white light, divine, creative, Christ energy, whatever for you is protective. I mean, I have a couple people I taught in a workshop that they said, well, the white light and the bubble thing does not work for them. And I said, well, what would work for you? What would make you feel safe? And they actually put up brick walls,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they have a past from their childhood that was not pleasant. So for them to feel safe is a lot harder than most people. So I think you have to learn to use the technique that works for you. I don't think anything is a blanket thing. The only person that knows the true source is infinite intelligence somewhere out there. So everything is saying tools to pack in your cosmic toolbox to find what works for you, Steve. And certainly, I think learning and practicing this, you know, practice in a crowd. Practice in a crowd where you feel safe. When you're in a position where you don't feel safe, practice there. You have to find what works.
That's good information when you go to a psychic or a medium that you're, if you feel loving and accepted and safe, that you're probably with a good one. If you're feeling defenses and closed down and not comfortable, you're probably not in good energy.
Well, I also think people get real nervous when they come to a clairvoyant. You know, it's funny, they'll come to me and they want a reading, but they don't want me to read too much. You know, I want you to know, but I don't want you to know that. And I think it's very important to be open, be receptive, but don't go for the consultation with a closed mind. Don't go, I'm going to, you know, okay, if you don't tell me my first name, those kinds of things, because it's negative energy and it's not fair to the medium, it's not fair to you to play those kinds of games. It's serious to us. And so you have to be open, too. You can't just be, you know, I mean, I don't think I'd really enjoy or want to read for the amazing Randy, because I don't think, first of all, you can't read someone who does not give you permission. You just can't. I mean, you might pick up things that are hanging out in their cosmic auric field that everybody can surf. You know, everybody's walked into a room and said, those two are fighting. You know, and there's no outward forms of that, but you can feel the energy kind of, you know, in their energy field. But truly it's a permission thing. So please be open when you're and do your homework. You know, don't just pick up any medium. You should ask questions. You should know more about them. You should really feel. How do I feel about this person? Am I comfortable with them?
Yeah, I notice, though, sometimes just dealing with people in day-to-day encounters, unknowingly I'll walk away and then I'll start behaving differently. And I was like wondering, where did that come from? Like, you know, all of a sudden like an anger or some type of emotion would come out of the blue that just is not me. And for, I mean, like on Monday, 9/11, it was like, I just felt crummy all day, and I was wondering, what's going on? That doesn't seem like me.
You know, it's funny. I did, too. I had those, and I didn't, for whatever reason, register it was 11-11 until 11-11 kept coming up on, like, my gas receipt number was 11-11 and something else was 11-11. Then I went to write a check, and I go, oh, my God, no wonder. You know,
well,
I get
you
it.
You came in saying, I just don't feel right today. I wonder what the reason be. And I said, well, it's November or September 11th. He went,
right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
There was
yeah.
so much grief out there and turmoil
right.
and confusion.
And so I use this as a tool. So when you feel those things, start praying. Whatever prayer is to you, it can be, you know, God got us all that is. Please just lift this negativity, lift this fear. How can I pray for people who are in mourning? Whatever the situation is, it's simplistic prayers. It's you know, whatever is right for you. If you're Catholic, you want to do the rosary fine. Whatever that is, because that prayer will lift the negativity. It is like taking a half a cup of coffee and pouring water in it, it starts making it lighter and lighter, and pretty soon it's clear.
I have this new technique, too. I learned it from my computer keyboard, that delete button. I just visualized hitting delete.
Yeah, actually, John Holland talked about that, too. When you have negative things come in or things that overwhelm you in a moment. I've been standing, you know, walk in a room, and I would be fine, you know, on my way to the meeting, but walk in the room, and all of a sudden you get hit like somebody just threw slimy silly putty on you or something, and wonder, okay, whoa, what was that about? You know, I have my energy up and everything, but it's because whatever was going on among the people that were there first, and you can do that. You can just say, okay, I choose to, you know, get out my cosmic cleaning rag and just clean it off, and then
use your miracle cloth.
Yeah, miracle cloth. That'll work. Thank you, Steve, for calling, and thank you for sharing that information, because I'm sure many, many people in the audience have felt that.
Great. Thanks, Satira.
Thanks for helping with John Holland, too. We loved it.
Right. Okay. Take
Blessings.
Care.
You know, the other technique John Holland has was with the screens. You take a fine screen and pretend it's at your feet, and you pull it up over you to help clean your energy field.
Well, I like actually to use, and I'm going to, this will be in my book and we'll talk about it, is, you know, when you have a computer and you want to make more space on your computer and stuff, you defrag your computer.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we can defrag our human self, you know, to clean out and clean out things that don't serve us anymore and just defrag your body.
I need
like
to do that with my brain. You get old, everything falls out of the back of it.
Gosh. But it's important to really be open and ask questions and know that everybody's developing. I mean, whether you think you're a medium or not, or clairvoyant, you're all developing because you all came in with a psychic ability. Hello, welcome to Airwave.
Hi, Atira. It's Sherry from Olympia.
Hello, Sherry. How are you?
I'm just fine, thanks. I don't have a question for you. I just wanted to say hello to both of my favorite little goddess women. You and Mary Ellen, and
thank
I
you.
Thoroughly enjoyed myself at the John Holland event.
Was that your first time going to a John Holland event?
Yes.
What did you think was most striking for you?
You know, I felt at home. I felt instantly at ease. No matter where I was when John Holland was speaking, I felt like he had met me in my living room. We were sitting on a sofa, and he was saying, let me share my wisdom with you. And
I think he teaches with a great sense of humor.
Oh, my gosh.
And compassion and kindness.
Yes.
And he's like your favorite uncle that shows up at Christmas with open arms. You just love him. And I think that's what you're talking about, Atira, earlier, where everybody had opened their heart center, because I noticed even men and females both had a warmth feeling towards John. There were so many compliments whizzing around in the audience.
Well, also, John does not teach like, look at me, here I am, I'm the only one that can do this. It's like, okay, let me show you how to play.
Yeah.
Come on, I'll show you.
Exactly. That's exactly what I felt.
He's leader in the playground.
Yeah. He
Jerry
like...
Roth, if I'm not, if I'm remembering correctly, did you not call in when he was on my radio show?
Yes, I did.
And did he not say something amazing to you?
Yes, and let me tell you what it was. He said, listen, he says, girlfriend, how old are you? And I said, 47. He says, he goes, Atira, this is where I go out on a limb. He said, please tell me you know you've been on a motorcycle. And I just started laughing hysterically because I had just received my motorcycle endorsement. And he started laughing. He says, oh, he goes, now, Atira, how would I have picked that out of thin air?
Well, he couldn't have picked it out of my brain, Sherry Rose, because I didn't know that. And I know you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what about the person where he said the glass eye? How many relatives do you have that have glass eyes?
Hello.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, listen, ladies, I know there are a lot of other callers that would like to chat with you.
Thanks
I want
for
to
calling
tell
in
you,
and sharing.
I love you both so much.
Blessings, darling.
Thank you for all the teachings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, darling.
You've got the best callers.
I do. I'm so blessed with the people that listen to BBS Radio. And I want to especially thank Don in our control room. He works so hard behind the scenes. He's invisible out there, but he's
handsome.
Not invisible in our hearts. is so amazing. He just makes everything seem like it runs smoothly, and I have to tell you, running a radio station, answering 600 emails a day is not easy. So a little earth angel behind our wheels there. Thank you for making us look really good on the airwaves.
It's nice to see somebody's dream come true, and then he brings other people along with him.
Well, I really think PBS Radio is going to take off in a million ways because it really is probably one of the hottest airwaves for metaphysical and spiritual uplifting. They have such an amazing range of talent, and so we really feel blessed to have the opportunity to be on these airwaves. I really want to talk about, too, the interesting thing, another interesting thing about this experience with John Holland is I really got to see somebody else work for a change instead of it me. And so it was interesting to see that he actually talks to his guides a lot like I talk to my guide. And so that was, it's like, you know, it's nice to see it outside of yourself sometimes because you think you're the only one or you get things
how do you
certain
mean?
Ways.
Out loud? He, talking out loud or in his head?
I could just, no, I could see his guides around him. So I could see that he's talking to him, okay, you talk, you don't talk, wait a minute here, sort out this person. Your responsibility is to line them up. Line up the people who are passed over.
Explain mediumship, too, how the pushier ones tend to come through, but when they come through, other people will join them who've got a similar situation. So a message in the audience might not be just for that one particular person, but for two or three people.
Well, it was really interesting. There was a couple interesting things that happened at John's, and one of them was when I was on stage, he had said, "Who's George?" And I'd lost my older brother, so... And the real person I wanted to hear from was my mother. My mother was my mother and my best friend, and I really wanted outside things because I have heard from her a few times through my own mediumship. But you know yourself, when you're in this business, you are too close to your own stuff. It's very hard to get your own stuff because you're emotional about it. And when you're emotional, the energy drops. Because, you know, we're entitled to grieve. By the way, all mediums are entitled to grieve if they lose. So strange. People think you shouldn't have the right to grieve if you're a medium because, after all, aren't you going to talk to him?
Well, I remember when your brother died, everybody's like, well, he's dead, get over it. And you're like, but it's my brother.
Yeah, people don't get it. Yeah, and I'm like everybody else. I'm going to miss the hugs and the touch and the humanness of it. But because I talk to spirit and angels and that people have passed over, they thought, well, just pick up the phone, you know? and it is and isn't that way because emotions block. That's one thing I think it's very interesting for people to know. When you go to hear somebody like John Holland, John Edwards, you know, Sylvia Brown, you're in a room of 2,000 to 3,000 people in mourning.
Mm-hmm.
The energy drops to, like, floor level. It's like... You know yourself, when you're grieving, it's a form of depression. And it is so hard. It's so heavy. It just drops the energy. That's why, to get people to laugh a little bit, to think of the happy things. If I was wanting to get a reading and I was in a room, a large room of people, I would say, I would remember my mother's smile. I would remember how she touched hearts. I would remember all the happy things about her because that raises my energy. And it's like pumping the antenna to get that attraction there.
Well, that's why John
uses all the things that are sad. Bring up the things that you loved about that person. Bring up the love connection. They're going to have a better chance of getting through. Or it's the pushy ones, like you said, the ones that have attitude on this side. They usually tend to keep it on that side, so they get through. And that's why it was interesting. My brother had an attitude. He was like a pushy guy.
Oh, and wanted everybody to know he was number one.
Yeah, it's funny. He said, why would I write number one? I said, well, first of all, he's my oldest brother, and he always thought that. and even though it was my half-brother, I never called him my half-brother and sister half of anything. They're, you know, my brother and sister. And so it was interesting those things came through. But it was a really sweet gift.
Yeah, that was a surprise because I had forgotten his name. And when he said, "Who's Georgie?" and so you think that's for you, I'm thinking, oh, what is she talking about? And then, bammo, just the way he got the information and the connection.
Right away, he says, I've got breathing issues. I've got, you know, and my brother actually worked on trains and did hazmat recovery. So he had burned lungs. So it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
So it's important when you're going and you want to get a reading, you know, don't try to put your grief, and it's so hard because as soon as they say something, what are we going to do? We're going to cry. We're going to go into the sadness.
everybody,
that, you know?
Everybody's held their sadness in, and as soon as they say somebody you love is here, it's almost like it's allowed, they allow it to explode out of them.
Yeah, if you are, if you have lost someone and you want to start working on your grief and really get help, James Van Praagh's book, Healing Grief, is probably one of the best books on the market. And grief of all kinds. We grieve about a lot of things. We grieve about losses of, you know, jobs and relationships. And, you know, we have a lot of losses in our lives. It's not just passed over loved ones.
Even when someone moves and it's a happy move, they still grieve a lot of the things that were in the old town with their old neighborhood, within the old stores that they were familiar with.
Absolutely. Everything's constant change, and we have to understand the process of that, too. One of the things I wanted to say for you, too, Mary Ellen, is I really noticed how much you're developing your psychic ability. I think you've hung around me too long. We're rubbing off.
Well, you know what's amazing? Things that I used to take for granted, I'd go, oh, that's my imagination. And you'd look over, and I'd be thinking that, and you would say, that feeling is this, and you would acknowledge it. So what happened is it allows me, when I have that feeling or that pull at my heart, that intuition thing, I would pay more attention to it instead of just sloughing it off. Because when I grew up part of the time in two different foster homes, and I would go, I'm cold. I'm a very skinny person. I go, I'm cold. They say, how can you be cold? It's 80 degrees outside. I didn't know, but I was cold because I wasn't very healthy. And so I had so many people discounting me that I didn't listen to myself. And so meeting you was wonderful because it affirmed what I was feeling.
Well, in the last particularly two radio shows, I've really talked about how we can help, you know, kids developing. And I don't care if you're indigo, a crystal, rainbow, or, you know, pink, purple, or green.
Good for you.
Whatever. If you are a child and you have the sixth sense going on, your imagination and creativity, I encourage everyone to support that because truly it is our natural gift to be psychic, clairvoyant, to have that knowingness. And unfortunately, it gets taught out of us. I mean, it's just like, oh, you know, I mean, I could tell you my mother a million times used to say, you wear your heart on your sleeve, because I was a sensitive, you're right. If the neighbors down the street were fighting, I thought I caused it, if I could hear it. You know, or...
You could hear it in your head?
I could hear it in my head, yeah.
That's interesting.
Or if I'd have a dream and the next day, it'd be on TV.
Oh my.
I thought I caused it. You know, so you get, like, a lot of sleepless nights over things like that.
That's very lonely for children like that.
I can remember I used to see fairies all the time around my mother's plants, and I would tell my mother what the fairies said to do for this kind of plant or that kind of plant. And one day my mom says, why are you so, I mean, you know, she at first she thought it was cute, you know. Oh, isn't that cute? You know.
A five-year-old who loves gardening.
Right, and then there's a point at which it's aggravating, and you cross a line. And then my mom says, why are you so sure, you know, and I said, well, you know, Mom, it's on, you know, it's on TV. I see it on, you know, Disney Channel opens every Sunday night, I think it was then, with the little Tinkerbell, you know. I said, that's what they look like, sort of, you know. So I said, it has to be real.
I so envy your gift. That's why it's nice to be your friend, because it's just magical to spend time with you and be part of that.
I think you're courageous for being my friend.
Are you kidding?
Because I do think it's a hard to take. I mean, absolutely, wherever Lori is out there, bless her heart, I went to visit her, and it was after I had actually been asked to help a friend whose dad had passed away, and I gave him information. Well, I went to Lori's, and obviously I was still a little turned up or hyped up, and all of a sudden her daughter's alarm kept going off in her bedroom. The alarm was turned off, by the way.
Yeah, one electrical thing.
You know, and then it got, like, freezing cold in her house. And about the fourth trip to the bedroom to turn off the alarm, she actually unplugged it off the wall, out of the wall.
Oh, dear.
She comes back into the room, and it goes off again. She goes, okay, Adara, can we talk? You know? And so, it really made her believe, but I'm not so sure she wanted me to come out back. She was a doll, but she says, when I was leaving, she says, now are you taking everybody with you? You know, it is hard sometimes to be my friend, because one thing about you I love it is because I can say, Dom says we need to turn here. Dom says we need to do this or that.
Well, he tells you when there's police up ahead, he goes, blue lights, and he's never wrong.
Yeah, he saved me from tickets. Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit. But it's true. And even, like, recently there had been some fires in your little town, and I just knew there is you're going to all kinds of different fires and stuff. But I said
I take photos for the fire department.
I said, well, I see this thing, but it, to me it looks like, a raised railroad track, but it, like it's a path. And sure enough, they had turned this incredible old railroad place into a bike trail, correct?
Yes. Well,
yeah,
you had said it's a bike trail, but it looks like a train track the way it goes up and in the grade. And I said, well, you don't know this, but that's what happened. They took the old train tracks out, put it into a bike track. And then what was so spooky is when we... the firefighter who has just recently died in our town told you he was going to help you get the arsonist, and he showed you the area. So I thought, well, I'll just drive around and see if you get any hits. And as we're coming down this one area, I'm being quiet. I'm trying to keep my brain in neutral. And you go, right here. Stop right here and tell them what you felt.
Well, it's really interesting because we come down this road, and all of a sudden it was just like my face was on fire. The whole right-hand side of my body actually was just like, I was so hot. I said, oh, it's right here. We got to pull over. And literally, the trees and things were grown up. You really couldn't see the bike trail.
Yeah. And it could have been on the left-hand side of the road, but the bike trail was on the right-hand side of the road. And I backed my car up 10 feet after I braked, and I said, Tira, this is exactly where I parked to get out and take photos of the fire.
Yeah. So it comes in different ways, and I never can tell you exactly how it's going to come. It just comes sometimes as a physical experience, sometimes as a mental. When I talked to you, I was in Seattle, and I saw the bike path, the railroad thing. I just saw that like a black and white movie. So every experience. I can't believe it's time to go again, Mary Ellen.
Oh, that's too bad.
Our time's up. Thank you so much, Mary Ellen, for sharing the airwaves with me today. It's a treat.
Oh, it's a joy.
And she's always so willing so loving about it, and I appreciate it so much.
And Mr. Perfect's with her listeners, so I'm going to take a photo of them. Getting a chiropractic massage, the cat with the chiropractor tomorrow, by the pool on a massage table. So that'll be on the website and in the newsletter.
I have to tell you, I think my cat's getting the better end of this deal sometime. I'm telling you, he's staying at the Kitty Hilton over here. Thank you so much for all you do behind the scenes, too, Mary Ellen. I have to tell you, Mary Ellen puts incredible hours in keeping the newsletter up, keep maintaining the website. Traveling, she travels with me. We go to many, many things together, and she is truly a gift to me and absolutely a cross between Peter Pan and Mary Poppins.
Oh,
practically.
It's an honor. Thanks, Tara.
Thank you so much. Again, she does have two books out, Expect Miracles, Christmas Filled with Miracles, and please look into our website at www.angelscribe.com. We do have a newsletter that goes out, so we try and tell you who's doing what, what's going on locally around.
Oh, and the Medium is on Friday night. It's coming back.
Yes, the movie, the show Medium. Yeah, and all those shows on TV right now, the Medium, Ghost Whisperer, there's so many good shows on right now, spiritual shows. Psychic History with John Holland, absolutely. He's going to do some more series on that where they take him to a place and he finds out what went on there. So until next week, and you remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the ways for others. And remember to stay wrapped in the wings of angels. Lots of blessings. Bye.